In Good Faith is on break in August, but we wanted to bring you this episode of Take a Leap as a bonus. It's a podcast where young people talk about their faith and how they're changing the world. In this episode, the hosts interview Nava Esmailizadeh about fast fashion and her Baha'i faith. A new season of Take a Leap starts September 1st. If you like what you hear, we hope you'll share with a young person in your life.
Hey guys, welcome back to Take a Leap. I'm James. Today I'm joined by Aaliyah Alexander.
Hey everyone.
Ocean Marshall.
Hey guys.
And Neftali Rodriguez for the very first time.
Hey guys, it's nice to be here today.
And today we're going to revisit Nava Esmailizadeh's episode. She's all about fashion. She's Baha'i, our only Baha'i guest. She's really cool.
For now.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, she's got a lot of cool things to talk about. Aaliyah, what stood out to you from Nava's episode?
She said that we should be anxiously concerned with the issues of our time. The fashion industry wasn't exactly a big deal back in, you know, ancient times, the way that it is now, in terms of fast fashion and all those sorts of things. And so I like the perspective of picking something that is relevant to us, where we are now and when we are, and doing what you can, combining all of your talents and abilities and dreams into doing something good, to be anxiously concerned with whatever that thing is.
Definitely. I feel like, kind of along what you were saying, she was talking about how her career like 10 years ago like didn't really exist. Mm-hmm. And so like the world's changing and we change with it. But like our faith is something that can guide us no matter what time we're in, right? Like her faith has been around for thousands of years. Our faith has been around for thousands of years. The people we talk to on the show, religion has principles that have been around for thousands of years, but they apply as the world changes still. But she gets into fashion. Is anyone here a big fashionista? I like your shoes, Neftali. You want to talk to us about some fashion?
Yes, I think I really like this podcast because she was talking about how fashion can be tied spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought about that. And listening to the podcast, it was really cool to see that, yes, God does want us to feel nice in our skins, in our bodies.
100%.
And so I feel like fashion is a good way of expressing oneself. And so I do like wearing loafers. I do like wearing the baggy jeans. I think fashion is definitely a way I can express myself in a way that God sees me. So it's really cool.
I love that.
It's cool.
That's awesome.
Ocean, how about you? How do you feel about fashion?
Oh, I love fashion. Well, first of all, I'm really like into Nikes and shoes. Mm-hmm. Love shoes. I have probably way too big of a collection.
You got some cool ones right
and,
now.
Yeah, I do. They're pretty fun. Yeah. My mom actually told me I'm only allowed to bring 7 to college with me.
Oh, wow.
Only 7.
So sad.
So hard.
So, yeah, I do really like fashion. Probably shoes are my favorite.
Okay, nice. So cool. Very nice. I'm not a sneakerhead, but I do like fashion. I try to dress nice. I don't know.
You've got that preppy East Coast
yeah,
vibe.
Exactly.
You're killing it today.
I appreciate it. It's my Vineyard Vines shirt. My previous employer, actually. That was cool. Don't want to give too much away about her interview. She talks about, you know, recycling clothes, kind of like what you're saying with thrifting, things like that.
She mentions at least one principle of Baha'i. So if you are unfamiliar with this particular faith tradition, this is step one.
Yeah.
And learn a little something more today.
One thing I really liked about her episode was I could really tell like how passionate about fashion and like she was. So that was super cool. I could just tell that she really loved it and put so much like research and effort into it.
For sure. Well, we don't need to say any more about Nava. Nava's going to talk about herself. Josh and Leah are going to share a lot as well. So we're going to kick it back to them. We'll catch you next time.
Hey, this is Josh with Take a Leap. The question is, if you had to wear a cartoon character's outfit, you know, like every single day, which cartoon character's outfit would you choose?
I'm thinking Patrick from SpongeBob. He's got like a swimsuit. I can go to the pool all the time. Shirtless too. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I'll go Tom from Tom and Jerry. Just the red collar.
I'm going to have to go with Kim Possible.
Probably Oscar the Grouch. He's got a good fit every day.
Perfect. Does that include the green or just the trash can?
Yeah, including the green and the trash can.
All of Rapunzel's dresses, and she literally sewed it to herself, so I know it would fit me good. And it also just looks really comfy, so.
Dora the Explorer backpack included.
Oh, yeah. So kind of like adventurous, you can do anything in it. Cargo pants.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hello, welcome back to Take a Leap. My name is Leah, and co-hosting with me is Josh.
Hello, hello.
We're excited today to talk to Nava Ismailizadeh about her Baha'i faith and the things that she's done because of what she believes. Hi, Nava.
Hey, nice to see you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to just have this conversation. I feel like we need more of these in the world.
So, Nava, you have like a lot of cool, interesting things, especially like in the fashion world. Do you mind talking to us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, I work at Ambercycle. I'm the head of brand. We all kind of are aware of how wasteful the fashion industry is. We know that it's a big polluting factor in the world. And I think a lot of times we don't totally understand how or why, but clothing recycling is nearly impossible today. Less than 1% of our clothing can actually get turned back into clothing at its end of life. So a majority of it ends up going to landfills or getting incinerated. So our company essentially developed a new chemistry that takes old clothing, breaks it down to its base molecules, and then rebuilds it back into raw material, yarns, fabrics for fashion brands to utilize, where you can make high quality clothing again without extracting resources from the earth or sending material to landfill. So really trying to create what we call a circular economy where things can flow continuously within the fashion industry.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Such a great mission. When did you decide to pursue this profession and to get involved in the fashion world?
Yeah, good question. My grandfather was a cotton farmer. A lot of my like ancestors worked in fabric mills in Iran and whatnot. So I feel like it was kind of part of my DNA. Like this was just in my blood. So growing up, I always loved fashion, like just like colors and silhouettes and as a form of expression. But as I was getting older, I remember I was in high school and we had this like paper where we had to like talk a little bit about what we wanted to do when we were older. And I started just researching fashion and people weren't talking about it as much back then, but it just became very obvious that an industry that is set to really define beauty in our society was actually not really beautiful in the craft of how things are being created. And so I always wanted to go into fashion. But when I learned about that, I got really confused about how to actually like be in it without contributing to the problem or for it to align with what I felt was like my life's purpose, which is somehow bettering the world through like through work. I kind of just went into like a rabbit hole and started doing research and trying to think about what options are out there to solve this problem. It took a while. And then finally I found a really small team. Like there was like four guys in a warehouse basically in LA that were starting to build this thing that when I heard about it, I was like, whoa, you guys are doing something that is actually going to systematically like change the industry. And it's cool and it's fashion. So yeah, I've kind of just been there ever since.
I think that's super cool because I feel like I'm at a point like coming at the end of my undergrad where it's like, yeah, how can I merge my passion for like just working and wanting to build like a better world? Like how do those intersect? And I feel like you found a really cool kind of intersection there where it's like, you love fashion and you want to work for it, but it's also like, how can we make it better?
Yeah, we live in a really cool time in the world where I feel like a lot of youth, a lot of young people are starting to think about their careers differently. And like people don't want to just work. Like people want to figure out how to build a new world. And so being able to combine like these worlds of like, what are my talents? What am I good at? What do I love? And how do I actually like make the world a better place? I feel like we really need to pursue it because you start to see all these new emerging industries and worlds that are being created because of it. Like my job didn't exist 10 years ago. It's a completely new industry. So I think we need more people to be thinking that way.
Yeah, that's such a good message for our listeners to hear. And I love what you said about thinking that fashion is beautiful and creative, but the process, like the behind the scenes work was not beautiful. And you use this creativity to make the world a better place and take something that was a flawed system and make it a little bit better. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To what degree do you feel like your Baha'i faith has driven your desire to make a change in the fashion world?
Yeah. I think a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it's growing up in the Baha'i faith, one of the core principles is like the oneness of humanity. And that's a very lofty principle, but I think it covers a lot. Like there's a lot that goes into really understanding, not on a superficial level, like how is humanity one? How are religions one? How is people one? And then in that, how are we like trying to achieve a goal where we learn and work towards our oneness at the same time? There's like service kind of being centered at everything you do in your life that helps kind of guide you to not just believing something, but translating it into action. And so growing up in the Baha'i community, I was very fortunate to be involved in a lot of different community building efforts at the grassroots level with like, you know, different folks. And not just in the Baha'i community, I think just in general, like service was core to like my family values. You know, in high school, like I did way more community service hours than was needed, not because I was trying to do anything, but because I loved it. It was just, you know, my sense of purpose. And so I feel like when I was in high school and I was thinking about fashion, I remember there was this quote that I was reading that was like basically saying, be anxiously concerned with the needs of the age you live in. Like, how do you really think about what is needed in the world and work towards fixing it? And I think that as we're starting to move into industry, like maybe for you, when you're going into law, you know, like, what does the world really need? Like, how are we building justice? How are we building like equitable systems? How are we building a fashion industry that is not impacting our climate and our environment so dramatically? So I think it's pretty core, but I think understanding how to translate into action is a step-by-step process. Like every day I'm learning about what that actually means and just trying to get better.
I love that focus on service. I'm wondering if you have any advice for our listeners who are maybe younger and are kind of trying to find their purpose in life and something that they're passionate about. Do you have any advice for them as they're trying to do these things?
Yeah, that's so funny because I feel like I get this question a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I have, you know, like a lot of my younger siblings, friends and stuff, they're always like, how do you get into, you know, what you're doing? And
yeah,
if I'm being completely honest, I feel like for me, the reason why I'm up in the space that I'm in is partially because of my stubbornness of like, it was really hard for me to imagine doing something that I didn't love every day. Like I just loved fashion, so I wanted to be in it. And then figuring out an angle of how to come at that in, you know, like a service approach, I got very fortunate. Follow your intuition, because the types of roles and jobs that are out there today, like it's changing so quickly. Like industries are evolving and innovating so quickly. And like pray about it. Like I prayed a lot about it, and I feel like I got a lot of confirmations in my prayer and actions. And it wasn't an easy journey. Like there was a few years that I actually didn't work in the fashion industry because I couldn't find anything that was remotely close to what I wanted to do. So I like detoured into tech. I was working at Snapchat, if you're familiar, and you know, like another, I had helped found like an AI, a fashion AI company. So like pray about it, take action, be a little stubborn, and like, we live in an exciting time where like we can just create new systems for things, and we need more people who are like entrepreneurial, and like you kind of have to start the change you want to see. So yeah.
Recently, AmberCycle has been recognized in Time's Best Inventions of 2024, right?
Yeah.
That's so impressive. Congrats.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What did that accomplishment mean to you?
It means a lot. I think starting anything from scratch and seeing it being built up into something that people understand the value in and want to kind of showcase in the world is extremely exciting. But I think beyond that, what is so cool about it is that people, brands, like, you know, people that are buying clothing, everyone is starting to see the importance and value in building a more sustainable industry in fashion, and they want that change to be made. And so I think seeing that award, it's not just about us, but it's about like the movement and the demand shift that's happening, where we know that what is important and what like deserves recognition is something that is more meaningful than just a new like technology or a new product. So I think very humbled, very honored, and hopefully it just leads to more and more adoption to the material.
Yeah, I love that, because it is, like you said, about more than just you. Like, you need other people to contribute and realize that the fashion industry and the recycling process as it is right now is not sustainable, and we need to change that. So
yeah,
great work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, us as consumers, what can we do? Can we recycle our clothes? What do I do if I want to recycle my clothes?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a complex answer, because I think consumers, there is some level of responsibility of like, how do you buy responsibly? Mm. You know, as systems are starting to scale and we can actually like have these consolidation centers where you can go to a bin and drop off your clothing and make sure it goes to a place where it's actually getting recycled, that will also be something that, you know, you can participate in. But also, like, in the meantime, there's like, brands have a big responsibility. Corporations have a big responsibility of building out that infrastructure so that consumers can also participate. I think if I had to say like one thing on the consumer side, and this is something I myself, like stepping out of my role at Ambercycle, think about a lot as a consumer, is like, how am I making better decisions in what I am buying? Am I aware of the materials that are going into my clothing? And also, how am I buying things that mean something to me beyond a short lifespan? And it's something that I know that I can really take care of and wear for a long time and take, you know, repair, pass down, gift, you know, like, are we like going back to that place where we build connection with the material that we interact with on a day-to-day basis and not just buy, wear one time for some event and then throw away or give away, you know?
Yeah. So give us the 10 worst brands we should never buy from. I'm just kidding.
Can't do that. I think everyone uses their own like wisdom in that.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. I think it's interesting with the growth of social media and promotion of fast fashion, how much we're told like you need to buy new clothes all of the time and fashion trends change so fast, you have to keep up. But I love what you're saying about really taking into consideration what you're buying and when you're going to be wearing it and for how long you can wear it.
Yeah. I think tying it back to like the idea of like faith and religion in general too.
Yeah.
Like what I was saying earlier about beauty and how like fashion industry is something in our culture that we like tie so heavily to beauty. I feel like that's beauty at a material level, but if we really understand beauty to also be like a spiritual quality or like a virtue, then it becomes less about just the output and more about like the process, the capacity, the craft. So like in people, we always talk about inner beauty, you know, like inner beauty is so important, and it is. And in clothing, that exists too. In everything around us that exists, in like artistry, the craft and the process of how something is made showcases the capacity of the artisan, like to strive for excellence or like perfect something and pour their like heart into making something. And we've come kind of far from that world in fashion because we are trying to pump out so that people buy. We're not as artists creating to create, we're creating to sell. And that impacts the way you design something. It impacts the speed at which you have to design something, the efficiency, the et cetera. So I think like it's so cool because I think for me, I can use fashion, which is something that is material, but you can tie it to something spiritual and try to refine spiritual qualities through the practice of making clothing and making art as well.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful connection. Thank you for sharing that. I think my next question is just, where do you see AmberCycle and Sycora heading in the future? Like, what are your future goals and things that you're working towards right now?
I think for us, it's really about scaling. So with any new technology, scaling is hard. Like, we're building out a completely new technology that hasn't been built out before. And
yeah,
our goal is to scale it so that when we're talking about like carbon reduction and impact, that really comes into play when you're starting to replace a lot of reliance on virgin materials with a circular resource. And so scaling is super, super important for us. And then on top of that, I think the storytelling piece is a really big piece as well. And that's what I get to focus on a lot. And I'm very lucky to do it because I think with storytelling, like oftentimes we say marketing drives sales, and it does. But I think ultimately what the power of storytelling does is it has the ability to drive consumer behavior. So we can use that to drive sales, and we can also use that to build education, awareness, and like community. And so we're really keen on building out our community and more educational storytelling capacities within Sycora so that everyone can really become involved, whether you're a brand or someone who wants to go to the store and buy something and you know what you're looking for. Like, you know, you're looking for something made with Sycora on a tag and you know what that means and how to participate in that. So I think a lot of fun stuff. We have a lot of also like really cool collaborations that are set to come out in 2025. So yeah, I think it's about just continuing on the journey that we're on and trying to make more and more of an impact along the way.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. Do you have any questions that you want us to ask or anything that you want to talk about that we haven't gotten to yet?
I guess like one question I want to ask you guys, and maybe this is, I think it's good to include it. I don't know if you're including it somewhere else, is like, what is kind of the intention and goal for this podcast? And what do you hope that, like, I love this idea of bringing different perspectives together and tying it to like some sort of action in the field or like work. What are you guys trying to do kind of in the long term with the podcast?
Yeah, I think that's a great question.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because I think a lot of people in our generation feel like negatively towards religion in general, or at least organized religion. And I think it's just good to show them that their faith can be a good thing and that it can be used for things more than just like, oh, I have to read the scriptures or I have to pray. And those things have like been obviously like huge in my life, but like, how do those things then apply to, you know, going out into the workforce or, you know, being advocates for greater social change or environmental change or what have you. And I feel like people just need like inspiration to know that, oh, this is possible to one, be a believer, and then also pursue my passion in the fashion industry or in environmental change or, you know, whatever it may be. I think just giving people ideas on how they can do that.
Yeah, I love that. I think like with religion and science, like they're both bodies of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, we look at, unfortunately, there's been times in society where we've used both of those things for power, money, economic gain, mm-hmm. et cetera. But if you look at both of these things and the essence of what they are, it's giving us the ability to understand truth through different lenses, through the spiritual and material lens. And then the more we can combine the two, the more of a holistic picture of truth we can get. And you have to refine and test and through the workforce, see how you can merge these worlds to like bring something positive. So I feel like this is such a cool concept to be talking about, especially to the younger generation, because we can't, just like with science, we don't stray away from it because it has caused some harm. If we use it positively, it can really help. It has helped us progress so much. And the same thing with religion as well. So I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I love the idea that religion and science are both bodies of knowledge. It's really cool. Nava, thank you so much for talking to us today. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Likewise, this was so fun. Wishing you guys all the best on this.
That was Nava Ismailizadeh. We're so grateful that we were able to learn about recycling clothes and how to pursue your passions with your faith. We've got our social media all set up now, so follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Take a Leap Podcast. DM us if you have any great ideas for clothing innovation, like a suit made out of sweatpant material or a bird shirt or something else. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time.